I'm sure you've heard the word servanthood before. The hood part of servanthood is an old English suffix that dates back over 1,000 years. It means the nature, character, or status of something. I looked it up online, and there's actually several hundred words that use that suffix hood with it. Not very many of them are common, though. The more common ones would be like neighborhood or childhood or what we're studying today, servanthood. Servanthood, then, means that you have a nature of a servant, that your character is that of serving, that your status is one of a servant. It means that you have a desire to serve other people. In the world, those without Christ also serve, but they serve to get something. Usually some form of payment or recognition or self-satisfaction. In the sinful world without faith in Christ, people serve to get money or glory or power. But in the Bible, all of that's turned upside down. That's not biblical servanthood. The Bible teaches us that our servanthood flows from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the greatest servant of all. In the Gospels, Matthew and Mark, Luke and John, we learn that Jesus served people through his teaching and through his miracles. Jesus served people by setting them free from sin and its effects. The death of Jesus on the cross, of course, is the greatest example of servanthood. By dying on the cross, he has set everyone free from sin and guilt and death. He laid down his life as a sacrifice to serve us, to set us free, because he loves us and he rescues us from our sin. Here's how Jesus describes his work of salvation for us. Let's read this together. It's the next one. Let's read this together. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. We learn from Christ how to serve other people. That's our advantage. That's our distinctiveness as Christian servants who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We learn servanthood from the greatest servant of all, the Lord Jesus. And in his life, we see that it means sacrifice, that it means obedience to God's holy word, that it means that you care about other people and you love them, and that you do it all with a humble attitude. So start thinking to yourself about servanthood in your life. Is that your nature and your status and your character, is to make sacrifices for other people? Do you obey the word of God? Do you care and love about other people? And do you do it all with a humble attitude? This is what St. Paul wanted to teach the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth needed to learn to love and care for each other. They needed to learn servanthood, to be of the nature and character and status of a servant like their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is trying to teach them servanthood, and he uses himself as an example. Here's what he said about himself. Let's read this together. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Paul's service to the Corinthians included many hardships and dangers and burdens. In fact, in several of his books in the New Testament, he would refer to the dangers and the hardships that he would go through. Of course, a reading of the book of Acts, you would actually see and hear some of those stories of the hardships that the apostle went through in order to serve the churches he was sent to. The apostle made many sacrifices for the people. He was teaching them servanthood by his examples. Biblical servanthood includes sacrifices. You give up things. St. Paul gave up the comforts of life, in fact. Very few of you are going to be brutally treated or go hungry and thirsty because you're serving others. That's not the kind of sacrifices that we usually have to make to serve other people today. But you do give up things that you want, your time, your talents, your treasures, maybe some comfort to serve other people. Biblical servanthood includes giving up some things. It includes sacrifice. As you're obedient to God's holy word, as you care for other people, and you do it in the nature of humility. Biblical servanthood means serving in the character and the status of Christ. It's putting the love of Christ into your own life. A servant is one who seeks to meet the needs of others out of love and humility. So are you a servant? When you think about your life, do you serve other people? Hopefully, yes is going to be the answer, especially when it comes to your family. But of course, that's the softball, right? Serving your family is the easy answer. What about the people who aren't in your family? How eager and willing are you to serve other people? St. Paul really wants the Corinthians to learn this idea of servanthood, so he uses some word pictures, some powerful word pictures, to teach it to them. And remember, when the Bible uses word pictures, the idea of a word picture is that you put yourself right in the middle of the word picture to give it that power and that effect in your own life. So we're going to take a look at two powerful word pictures that St. Paul gives us to help us better understand what it means to be a Christian servant. Here's the passage. Let's read it together. This, then, is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. The word there for servants is actually the Greek word for under-rowers. The word was used to describe slaves on the lowest level of a three-level Roman warship. The word is used to describe the ones who rowed the ship. They were galley slaves that were chained to their oars. They were the lowliest of slaves. If the ship went down, they went down with it. That's what the word means in the original. It came to mean, then, that those who labor and work under the direction and authority of another. That's what you are. You work under the direction and the authority of another, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith in Christ, you're an under-rower of the Savior himself. You're a humble servant who obeys the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a powerful word picture. An under-rower. That's a far cry from how the world thinks about servanthood, but yet that's how God teaches us to consider ourselves. Consider yourself an under-rower of Christ. You labor and work under the authority and the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you hear his word in Holy Scripture. You are a humble servant who obeys his word. You know, this first word picture that Paul gives us of this under-rower, it really helps you check your pride and almost put pride to the side as you realize that you're an under-rower in the kingdom of God. You serve under the authority and direction of someone other than yourself, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the same passage, he gives us a second word picture. Let's go back to this passage. Let's read it together. This, then, is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. those entrusted with the mysteries is the idea of a steward. This is the second word picture in this same passage, that you're a steward for God. A steward is one who has been giving something valuable to use on behalf of someone else. The core concept of this term is that of an employer who has entrusted the management of his money or possessions in care of a steward, and then that steward is expected to protect and enhance what is given to him. The Lord has given you valuable things to use in service as well. We call it stewardship, if you're familiar with that term. You're a steward, entrusted with things to serve other people. You have time. You have talents. You have gifts. You have money. You have resources. All of these things you've been entrusted with to glorify God and to serve other people. You're a steward. You didn't bring them into the world with you. Certainly not going to take them out of the world with you. The Lord has given them to you during your lifetime for you to use to glorify God and serve other people. That's what a steward does. That's what God teaches us to think about ourselves. We are to consider ourselves stewards of everything that God has given to us. We use our God-given gifts to glorify Him and serve other people. It's another powerful word picture of what it means to serve in the kingdom of God. What it means in our life of discipleship is that we are Christ-like people, that we serve other people. Through faith in Christ, you are a servant, a steward, an under-rower of the Lord. Rather than looking to your own needs and concerns, you care about other people. You learn from Christ how to serve. And servanthood then becomes your way of life. This becomes your worldview. In a way, it becomes your mission in life. Rather than being self-absorbed, you become other people-centered. Biblical servanthood includes sacrifice. It is certainly obedience to God's holy word. It is loving and caring for other people. And it's all done in a spirit of humility. That's what St. Paul was teaching the Corinthian church. Remember, they're a fractured church. There's divisions. There's fighting and with each other. Paul is saying, love each other and serve each other. And of course, it's written in Holy Scripture. The Holy Spirit has preserved that book for us so that we too can learn what it means to live in congregational life, what it means to be a Christian all throughout the week, that we learn that we are servants. In 1 Corinthians, we learn that we are under-rowers of Christ, humble servants who live under the authority of Christ, and we obey His word. And we are to consider ourselves stewards of everything that God has given to us, that we use our resources to glorify God and to serve other people. Today, think about servanthood in your life. In Christ, your nature, your character, and your status is one of a servant. Amen.